This is CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man, want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man,
is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't.
With G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man, the ad man, and we are back at it. Yo, it's been a while, guys. It's been a while. I've been talking. That's how long it's been. I've been talking. Just bring it down a little bit. Stop getting a bit too excited, shouting at the people in the streets. But it's your boy G-Man, the ad man, and we are back at it. Yo, guys, that King Monada thing will get you. It'll get you. It'll get you every single time. You know, and you think it's not going to get you until you come to the studio and you're like, you know what I want to play? I want to play Iribala, right? That fucking shit is dope. And it also sounds like Iribala could be the name of some football player. You know what I mean? Donovan Iribala. Yeah, but it's fucking cool, man. It's such a fucking fantastic. It's been a dope couple of weeks. And your boy's back. A whole lot of shit has happened in the ad game. But, yeah, man. And you know what? I feel like the Triumph is also trying to compete. Yeah, there we go. We fixed it. The Triumph is trying to be a part of the game a bit too much. I got a really dope show for you guys today, but you know what I'm gonna do. I'll introduce my guest to you guys as and when we go, and you'll get to understand why he's in the studio with me today, because they've been doing some dope shit out there. You know, every now and then when you get the sense that like some dope work is happening out there, and you just kind of go, yeah, you know what, it gives me faith again. You know, we're not just, you know, and I don't know, Stings and Squeezebacks get a lot of flack on this show. But every now and then I need to remind ourselves that we don't just do Stings and Squeezebacks. So first of all, a huge shout out to Stings and Squeezebacks. Yeah, there we go. But yeah, we're good. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. Remember to hit me up on Twitter. Remember, hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blaxem, at BLAXEM on Twitter. Or you can also hit me up at CliffCentral.com on Twitter as well. And let's have some chats, and you get to understand who my guest is in the studio today. And if you have some questions for him, kind of hit him up on what's going on. So, a couple of things have happened though in the ad game in the past couple of days, in the past couple of weeks. Some really cool announcements have been made. Remember, once again, we do also have that WhatsApp number. Hit me up on 0797482090. So we can have a young chat. But yeah, it's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man, and let's get into it. So I was huge shout out to the homies at Mug Lives. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man, keeping us abreast. With all the news and all that's going on, but yeah, so I was checking out their website, and it turns out that the One Show is going to be having they're going to have five South African judges, right? So you know, every year there's like a group of people that get chosen to come do some judging at the One Show. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to introduce my guest first, and I can kind of ask him some questions about the stuff that's going on, and then you know we'll both get into it. So I mean, if you've kind of been in the game for a couple of minutes, kind of possibly in the Cape Town part of it, hey, what's going on? A huge shout out to my Cape Town people. What's going on? It's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. Do you guys ever think that at some point I'd ever call myself a Cape Town people? But yeah, huge shout out to my Cape Town people. Your boy's still out here. But if you've been in the game for about 5 or 10 minutes in maybe in the Cape Town game or even up here, probably encountered this man. He's done some really, really dope shit. But we're gonna get into that. You know, we're gonna delve in. You know, we're gonna delve into what this man has been up to. He's one of those guys that are fortunate enough to have the name of another famous person. You know, I say fortunate, but it could also just be unfortunate. But he's got the name of another famous person, and I'm sure that comes up a lot. But we're gonna get into everything that he's done. So. Right now he's working up here in Joburg. In fact we were just chatting now because you know the Cliff Central Studios are in Rivonia, and it brought back memories for him, this place, and it brought back like memories of his life here in the rough days. But in the studio with me today, Mr. Steven Tyler.
What's up, G man?
How are you doing? You well?
Very well, man.
Yeah, man. It's good to have you in the studio. Let me just make sure my equipment is working.
This is a first for me, huh?
Oh, yeah? Like a radio interview?
First on radio, yeah.
Oh, is it? Ah, my man, we're here. I'm
very... Well, this is unradio, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know this. But you were telling me off air that you actually have like a longer relationship with Cliff Central. Tell me about that. What does that mean?
So, I mean, earlier on my career, I worked at Jupiter Drawing Room in Cape Town.
You shout out Jupiter Drawing Room. What's going on?
Yeah, shout out to those guys.
Yeah.
So one of the clients that we had then was WeChat.
Yeah.
And WeChat were launching this new sort of platform, and Cliff Central were one of the new sort of features on
right,
this platform.
Right.
So I shot, along with my copywriter at the time, Gerard, we shot this really cool ad with Gareth Cliff.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that ad.
Yeah, it was like a psychologist on the table, and he's telling about all his problems in radio, and look at it, here we are.
Talk about full circle. That's what I do, guys. G-Man, the Edman, consistently will bring you the legends that didn't even know they are legends yet. but it's dope, man. Good to have you in the stool, man.
So yeah, thanks for having me.
Normally, man, I try to ask people, What do we pull you out of? You know what I mean? Like what are the briefs that are on your desk? You don't have to give us details if your clients want that kind of shit. But what are you working on right now that's got you excited?
We got a really cool thing happening with one of our clients in Africa. So we have
in the rest of the continent. Hey, yeah, people will come for you.
It's fun out there, guys.
Africa.
But yeah, it's a cool little brief happening in Kenya. So that's going to happen first part of the next year.
Okay.
Super excited about it. There's going to be some mountain climbing happening.
Okay, that's what's up. Yeah. It's a real one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to climb some cliffs.
No!
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Hey, man. Anyway, it's your boy, G-Man, the M-Man, and we're back at it. So what I was going to say, starting to talk about, is the fact that the one show is going to have, five judges now from South Africa. And I think we need to just shout them out real quick, and then we can get into it. But how do you feel about that? Do you think that it's important for us to constantly have representation in these international shows to kind of, you know, keep us relevant?
Yeah, totally. I think obviously the representation from South Africa is important.
Yeah.
The learnings from those individuals that they get to have when they go judges is obviously incredible. They're obviously butting or rubbing shoulders with the best guys out there.
That's right.
I think that it's a huge learning curve. So it's really important.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it also almost always reminds us of what the standard is. You know what I mean? And also where we are, in the standard of the rest of the world, and how the rest of the world just kind of feels like, you know, we got some cool people that are worth the judging badges. So I'll tell you who it is this year. This year we've got Mr. Jonathan Deep. Eh? What's going on? From FCB. Glenn Jeffrey from Great South Africa. What's going on? It's just a bunch of guys, you know what I mean? which I mean, I think that we all just need to become not even sensitive. We just need to be aware of this shit now. You know what I mean? And I mean, no disrespect to any of the guys that are judging, but how do you think we can just make sure that everyone is aware when they make these calls that, like, guys, come on, you know, in order for the game to become better and better represented, we just have to make sure that who we send and these delegations we send are more representative. How important do you think that is?
Yeah, I think it is important. It would be cool if you could kind of take that baton and pass it on to someone who wants to do it that hasn't done it before.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never done an international award show, and I'm not a girl to say.
Yeah.
But I think
how do you put yourself in there?
No, but it's important to pass it down so that everyone else can get that sort of sense of learn and yeah, it would be awesome to see more girls going
on. Yeah, I agree. And I think we've done better in with other shows. You know, I think I think people like Jenny Glover when she was still here, totally. And the likes of Fran Larkin, I mean, have gone out there and done some of the judging. I just think that we just need to be aware more. You know what I mean? Just kind of look around you and say, hey, it's just guys. You know what I mean? Whoever it is that does the recommendations for these lists, she just like kind of go, are you sure? We are only sending 5 guys. But anyway, that's cool. That's stuff that other people need to really worry about. I'm just here to make sure that everyone remembers that you guys didn't think about it. But it's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man, and you're hanging out on CliffCentral.com. And yeah, man, I think it's really, really cool. Award shows always excite me. You know what I mean? I always kind of get, you know when you feel like you've been going through the humdrum of everyday work. And not that we hate everyday work. Everyday work is amazing. Every time award shows come through, I get really, really excited. Do you guys at Network BBD always get that awards feeling when it comes on?
Look, I think it's more exciting when you got work in there.
That's right.
That you think is gonna win. But I think that the best bit about award shows is that they kind of curate the best of the world that's happening at that time. So, I mean, to be constantly inspired by these things, to be able to go onto the one show's website or Cannes or whatever it is, and then you can just sort of like sink into all the greatness that's been made.
That's right. That's dope. Yeah, man. I think it's really cool, man. Because I remember, you know, and in fact, I know that feeling when award shows come through and you feel like you haven't actually been putting in all the work, and then the deadline's next week, you know, and then it's like, ah, shit. Because you're right. You know, it always feels better when you've got work entered in there. Tell us about that the feeling of emptiness, you know, when you know that award show is coming and you've got nothing entered in there.
Oh, it's empty. Yeah. It's empty. I mean, every time you go to Lurie's and you don't perform as good as you think you do, and you just see person after group after everyone just walking up on stage and living their best life.
That's crazy shit.
And then you kind of leave kicking your feet on the ground. But it's good. I think it's inspiring. I mean, that's the point about it. You want to create work that resonates with the people and does awesome stuff.
My favorite feeling is when you want to start right away. You know what I mean?
Like still in the hotel room at Lurie's in Durban.
Yeah, you don't want to go to the after party. You're like, you know what I think we should do for this brand? And people are like, come on, let's just go drink, my man. It's fine. It's over. We can start on Monday. But yeah, man, I think that's dope. But I've spoken about how you're at Network BBDO now. Where were you before that? Like right before you came to Network, what agency were you at?
So I was at Cape Town's Jupiter Drawing Room.
Okay, cool.
Under the lead of Ross Charles.
Yeah, that's what's up. Hey, what's going on, Ross Charles? What's up, man?
Yeah, it was awesome there. I was there for about 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Prior to that, I was in Utopia, which is this small little startup thing by Graham Warsup.
Oh, right.
So I was part of the founding, so shout out to the guys at Utopia.
You shout out to the guys at Utopia. You know, I'm glad awesome you give us a background on what it is, because people don't know what that is. Sounds like something else.
So basically, I finished at Vega, and that year, Graham Warsup went from creative institution to creative institution and basically found what he thought were going to be the members of Utopia. So basically got these guys together. It was a team of about 8 of us.
Yeah.
And the idea was to take his sort of mentorship, and we just grow and build awesome stuff. But the concentration was going to be on NGOs.
Ah, right.
So it started out that way, and I see that Utopia itself has developed into more interesting work. Not so much more interesting work. They've been doing interesting work, but they're doing more sort of paid work with paid clients.
Okay. Oh, that's dope, man. That's cool. Well, you know what? Once again, a huge shout out to everybody out there hanging out with us. A huge shout out to people hanging out with us on Instagram. It's Posh Lam, 35, all those people. Huge shout out to you guys for hanging out with us. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. I told you, we're going to introduce everything here, guys. It's your boy, all the time. But I think that it's really interesting that, you know, you come from the Cape Town game and up here, because I feel like the Cape Town game is going through a lot of changes right now, you know, and I mean, without going into too much detail about like kind of feel the clients are asking Cape Town agencies just like some tough questions and I mean, you've obviously just recently moved. What do you think is the biggest difference between the Cape Town game and the Joburg game?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I mean, I started in Cape Town because I studied there, and then there was some opportunities for me there, so I went.
But you're from
kind of,
Joburg, right?
Yeah, from Joburg, Joburg, and you born went and bred.
What's your hood? Where do you come from up here?
She's Oaklands.
Yeah. Hey, to the rough woods of Oaklands. What's going on? man, carry on.
So I mean, I got into the game in Cape Town, but what I was kind of missing was I wanted bigger brands, I wanted bigger budgets.
That's right.
And that kind of results in bigger work. And
yeah.
I really did get that going into Network BBDO, which is just showing me the best support. And
yeah.
I mean, the opportunities I've had there is second to none.
Yeah, man, that's really dope. That's really dope. It's always been one of those places that, like, you know, I've always admired, you know, from the time of back in the day of Mike Shalit and even what it's grown into right yeah. now. Almost always had a tradition of, like, you know, excellence, you know, and you always get the feeling that, you know, it's tough in those corridors. You know, like, you don't get to be average in those corridors. Yeah, is that what it's like?
I mean, it's you basically walk through that place and it's just the wallpaper is actually awards.
Yeah. Oh, very cool.
Yeah,
it's clear.
It's shiny.
Yeah.
Like, blind yourself when you have to walk through with sunglasses.
Yeah.
No, but it's awesome. It's a super inspiring place to be. And,
yeah.
I mean, under the mentorship of Brad Riley,
yeah.
the boss man.
Hey, you shout out, Mr. Riley. What's going on? What's going on?
Yeah, he's the guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy we all look up to.
That's dope, man. That's really cool. But, yeah, it's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. You've already met who my guest is. If you want to come hang out, you want to have any questions for him, you have any, you know, if you remember him from his partying days in Rivonia, you know, hit me up. You know what I mean? Let's ask him some tough questions. If you remember him from Cape Town, from the Jupiter scene, let's have a chat. But, I think, you know, recently there've also been a lot of stuff has happened in the industry, and recently there's been like a celebration, you know, of the Digital Public brand, you know, and I think that it's such an inspiring story, you know, like Pepe himself having recently released a book, and I think that, you know, a lot of people are just inspired by the sense that, you know, it feels like what started out as a small Nyana agency has essentially become, you know, one of the biggest agencies on the continent.
Mm.
How important do you think it is for little agencies on the come up to know that there are stories of success like this and not be like, you know, there's still a shot in the dark, it might or might not happen? How critical do you think that is?
It's super critical. I mean, we've always been under the illusion that, well, not under the illusion, we know that advertising is not this one-dimensional
yeah.
place.
Yeah.
It's not just making a TV ad and putting a billboard and
yeah.
running some social media.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got this interesting NGO where we build libraries. I mean, Pepe's putting out a book. I mean,
that's
Mike
right.
Shalit pulled out another book.
That's right.
It's
yeah.
like there's so many different avenues that you can explore and do
yeah.
within the industry.
That's great. It feels like this NGO stuff keeps coming up with you. Is that something that's close to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to give back.
Yeah.
I mean, I started off my career with NGOs.
All right.
We worked on a brand called BirdLife.
Oh, okay.
We did some awesome work, got
yeah.
some international awards for it, and I think that kind of kick-started my career, so
yeah.
I'm super fortunate for that.
So you'll always be attached to kind of giving back.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a bad thing to be attached to, man.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really dope. But yeah, man, it's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man, and I think that a lot of us need to, and I mean, I've been speaking about this a lot lately as well. You know, I just feel like we spend so much time on the what I like to call the commercial side of what we do, that and also, like, I feel like it got slightly unpopular when it stopped winning, when NGOs kind of stopped winning at awards, everyone just kind of, well, not stopped winning, we're given a separate category, that I think agencies have not been as active in kind of like the talking about the NGO work and kind of the giving back work. Then I feel like we all just need to get better at it and just become better at talking about the things that we do actually do out there. So huge shout out to you guys and to you for doing that. But let's get into the reason why you're here.
Yeah.
So I mean, the reason why you're here is also because you're a cool guy. But at the same time, we have this other thing that you've been up to. So for you guys out there who don't have kind of the whole background, I mean, I'll let you explain all of it. But I think it was last week or whenever I saw this piece about a thing called Return to Chapman's Peak, right? And yeah. then, you know, lo and behold, you know, I get an email about, hey man, I've got that guy who was responsible for Return to Chapman's Peak. So tell us, I mean, just give the people out there some background on what Return to Chapman's Peak is actually about.
Yeah, so basically we created this content film for Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
I mean, one
First of
the
all, you shout out to the clients who want content films and stuff like that. That's what's up.
So I mean, one of the biggest pillars of Mercedes-Benz is really innovation and
right.
the communication. So they handed us a brief for this new S-Class.
Yeah.
It's like the biggest and the greatest. It's the ultimate.
Yeah.
Right? It's got all the things you need.
Yeah.
It's like first class all the time.
Yeah.
So basically, we knew we had to come up with something special. And I mean, I work with Tim Beckerling.
You shout out Tim Beckerling. What's going on, Baba?
Big shout out there.
Yeah.
And we were basically hitting brief after brief, trying to come up with the best idea. And Brad kept pushing us back until we kind of came over this little gem.
Yeah.
we presented it, packaged it, and client just like fell in love with it.
That's dope.
And yeah, I mean, they were so on board from the beginning right to the end, and just let us do our thing, which was awesome.
That's beautiful. But
yeah, essentially, the idea was way back 30 years ago, there was this really memorable ad that Mercedes-Benz did where this guy, Christopher White, was in his car, and late night, he kind of misjudged a corner, and he went over the cliff.
Yeah.
And he lived to tell the tale. It was a fatal crash, but he lived to tell the tale.
Yeah.
Because of two reasons. He had a safety belt on, and he was
in a Mercedes-Benz. Yeah.
So we're sitting there, Tim and I, and we're like, oh my God, we gotta revisit this.
Yeah.
But let's do it in the new S-Class. But the kind of trigger of it is that this new S-Class has autonomous driving, which is one of their big innovative pushes.
Crazy shit.
So let's get Chris back in the car, go to Chapman's Peak, and let the car drive him.
Fuck it hell. Yes, like I mean, just even the concise, say, 3-sentence version of that just gives you goosebumps.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can see how the client just kind of goes, fuck, that's dope.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I literally must have watched this thing with Tim and the editor for, I don't know, it was like 25 times a day.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched it for a while, and last night I watched it again, and I genuinely had shivers on my
head. Yeah, man, that's just crazy shit.
It's just such an emotional train ride.
But I mean, let's take a step back. I mean, I was saying that, like, you know, huge shout out to all the clients who kind of buy branded content and stuff. Was that always a brief, or did the brief come in as we need a TV ad? You know what I mean? And then did you guys develop it into something bigger? What was the briefing process like?
Like, I mean, the briefing process for us was really make something that's going to make them famous.
Okay, cool.
Make a famous piece of work.
Yeah.
That's going to resonate with people.
Yeah.
I mean, the interesting thing about this car is that they're pretty much all allocated to buyers. There weren't any for sale.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were sold out as they, before they even get
there.
That's
crazy shit. So, South Africa, you've got S-Classes before they land, but someone already owns one. Yeah.
So, I mean, this really was a brand love project.
Yeah.
It's the biggest and the best.
Yeah.
And you want to send that brand love.
That's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, it was quite a journey. But yeah, making a famous piece of advertising was the brief. And to come back to your question, I think we were looking at stunts, we were looking at activations.
Yeah.
And we came up with some really interesting ideas. But
yeah.
Brad's good like that. He'll push you and push you until you got that.
Yeah, the clean idea. Hey, that's always dope. That's always dope.
That thing that looks shiny before you even take it anyway.
Yeah, shout out, Mr. Brad Riley. What's going on? but I mean, so tell us about, like, meeting this dude, right? So like you said, I mean, here's this guy who was supposed to have been in a crash that is meant to be fatal. It wasn't, because he lived to tell the tale. Like what was it like to kind of encounter this person for the first time? You know, did he seem shaken still?
So interesting part about this. So we came up with this idea, pitched it to client loved it. Then we went on to brief it into Lawrence van Rensburg and the guys at Seven Films.
Right.
Huge shout out to those
guys. Yeah, huge shout out to the guys at Seven Films. Mr. van Rensburg, what's up?
So now we've got everything in place. The only thing we're missing is Mr. White.
Yeah.
So we were emailing people. We were, like, going onto Facebook, onto
Twitter.
Yeah,
trying to find this cat.
Like, found one guy on Facebook called Christopher White, who's an architect in Cape Town. We're like, yeah, we got the guy.
Yeah.
Did not happen. He's like, who is this? So Lawrence got a private investigator.
What?
12 hours or so later.
Yeah, he's got
it. He sends us a picture of Christopher White taking a selfie and sent it through to us.
You are kidding me,
dude. We literally jumped out of our
seats
and, like, high-fived each other. It was the most incredible moment.
Wow. You see, this is the other thing about advertising, guys. The beautiful people you get to actually collaborate with. I mean, here you are hanging out with a private investigator. You know what I mean? Like you could have just given up on
this. The best bit about it was that this guy's in PE.
Yeah.
And he's still driving a Mercedes-Benz.
You're
Christopher
kidding,
White, yeah.
Man. So is he driving a similar one to the one that took him over the edge?
No, it was a newer model.
Yeah.
But when we met him, he's basically been driving Mercedes-Benz since that crash.
That's fucking crazy.
Just,
man,
brand loyalty through the roof.
So and what's he up to now? And like, how difficult or easy was it to convince him to become part of this?
Look, he was fully on board from the get-go.
Oh,
I mean, huge shout out to him. He was such a legend
and
champ throughout this whole process.
White, I mean, if you're out there, my man, you know, what's up?
Yeah. But yeah, it was a super collaborative effort.
Yeah.
I mean, meeting up with him and kind of giving him the gist of what we wanted to do, but not giving it away, because
we
wanted to kind of invoke a lot of real
emotion
from him.
Yeah.
I mean, telling him, we didn't tell him that we were going to put him in a car that was going to drive him past the cliff that he
That's
fell out
crazy
of.
Crazy shit, man.
But yeah, he was super awesome. yeah. throughout this whole experience.
That's fantastic. I mean, I watched it. I watched it again as well this morning. And then I was like, you know, like, because you're right. There is that moment where he realizes that, you know, you tell him that he's about to get into the S-Class and get into autonomous mode and actually go around the bend. And you can actually tell, like, the nerves on his face. How nervous were you? You know what I mean? Let's also talk about the bigger context. There is that other ad from that other brand that speaks about, you know, cars that drive themselves, what could possibly go wrong. You know, yeah. that's the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, I mean, what if this thing fucks out? Were you worried?
So, I mean, we got him the same car that he went off the cliff on.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the whole way through this process, it was myself, Tim, and Lawrence.
Yeah.
And we were kind of the custodians of him and guiding him through this process. And everything else was there. And like, the strategy was to just make sure you're rolling the cameras, make sure the sound's on.
Yeah.
Because whatever happens, like, he could say something where he doesn't feel like he's on camera. And we got a lot of that, and we put it into the edit because it was those real moments that really made the difference.
Right.
But, I mean, we got this old car, that which was exactly the same as the one he went off the cliff.
Yeah.
And we kind of we put cameras all over the place, and I was sitting in the passenger seat, and we told him that we just wanted to do a recce from one side of Chapman's Peak to the other.
Yeah.
Meantime, everything was rolling.
Fuck!
And the whole idea was to try and, like, I was going to just, like, poke him with little questions
yeah.
and try and evoke some sort of emotion. And, I mean, it was scary. Like, going past that thing, he's looking over the cliff as much as he's driving.
No!
But he knows what he's doing there.
Yeah.
He's not going to do that again.
That's crazy shit. No, dude, it's insane. Because, like, if you watch the thing, and I think you guys should go out there and watch it again. He says the song that was playing, Tracy Chapman.
Fast Car. Yeah.
And I mean, all that just, like, freaked me out. And he says that the car, he was paying attention, then he looked away for a couple of seconds, and cassettes just started flying out of his sunroof. I mean, when someone tells a story and you see the glint in his eye, and you kind of go, where do you draw the line between, okay, I feel like we've gone too far now. I feel like we're going to make this guy, like, go back to his PTSD. You know what I mean? How did you guys know when to stop and when like, you still got the sensitivity right?
Look, I mean, the first time we really felt his emotions coming out, we got in this boat that we hired just on the docks of Hot Bay, and we went all the way to the base of the cliff.
Yeah.
And we just had him sat at the front of the boat, and we were rolling the whole way through. And we're just kind of, like, poking him with questions. How do you feel? Like, what is it like? Where did you come off? And, geez, the way you could start seeing the emotion. And he started shaking. And, I mean, we hadn't taken him to the cliff yet.
Oh, is it?
Everything was this big build-up to take him there. And it was only at the... We took him to the actual point that he drove off.
Yeah.
Stood him there. And that's when we were rolling. And then that's where we told him that we're going to be putting him in an S-Class. But the car's going to be driving him.
Yeah.
And it's a little moment just after that little interview where he's standing on the cliff where it kind of feels like it's off camera.
Yeah.
But we still had it rolling there, and he's just like, you guys can't be serious.
Fuck, that's crazy shit.
You know, like, I'm quite scared, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Because I kind of got a sense for it as well when I saw that, you know, like even when he lets go of the steering wheel, like his hands are kind of still itching to go back to it. Because it must have been quite a traumatic experience.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I was sitting next to him during that. Yeah. I was scared. I mean, I've never driven a car that drives me. So, I mean, sitting next to a guy with all the stuff that had happened on quite a windy
road. There must have had to have been some kind of, like quite of an amount of background kind of work that goes into making sure that he doesn't fuck out. You know what I mean? Because, you know, for lack of a better word, he could just fuck out. You know, like, he could have at that moment just kind of gone, this is crazy shit, I'm not doing this. Did you ever worry that at some point he'll say, I'm not doing this?
Look, I mean, when we first went to, after we told him that what's going to happen, we brought him back to the kind of site where all the kit was. And he came up to Tim and I, and I wish we got this on camera, because he said to us, he's like, listen, guys, I just want to say, if I can't do this, you just have to believe me, and you just have to be fine with that.
Of course.
And we're all sitting there like, why was it broken? Because it was such a real moment.
It's a real moment,
Yeah, it was incredible.
That's crazy shit, man. That's crazy shit. And then, like, so now you've got all this footage, and you go back to the client, obviously, right? Well, you go back and you start putting the thing together. What was your client's reaction when they first saw it? You know what I mean? Because also, I mean, it's important for them to not feel like they've placed this man in some kind of danger, right? So the first time they saw it, how did they feel?
So let me tell you about the actual production of this.
Right.
Okay, so We shot over about 3 weeks. Cape Town, we were in PE at his house. We went to Cape Town again to shoot one of his friends.
Yeah.
In total, we had over, I think, 50 hours of footage.
Wow.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, which needs to be whittled down to 5 minutes.
And our star editor, James O'Sullivan, shout out to him.
Oh, huge shout out, James O'Sullivan. Like, what's going on, man?
He really brought his A-game on this thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, he waded through this, and the first edit, I think, was sitting at 13 minutes.
Oof.
But one of the most interesting things, and why I think this really developed into what it was,
yeah,
was because we had so much time allowed to us for the edit.
Yeah.
I think we had over 3 weeks in this edit. I mean, Tim and I were on another shoot in London during that 3 weeks, but
yeah,
we were sort of reviewing it.
That's crazy.
From a hotel room. But yeah, just being able to have that time allocated for this,
yeah,
sort of thing, we narrowed it down from a 13-minute thing all the way to about a 5.5.
Yeah.
And it was only at about 5.5 that we showed it to clients. And, geez, they had, like, one change. They wanted to change Mercedes-Benz,
yeah,
Presents to Mercedes-Benz SA Presents.
That's just crazy shit.
It was that and like, you one
shout
other
out, you shout out to the client, guys.
Legends.
That's dope shit. But I mean, you mentioned something that's really, really important that I think, you know, starts to actually, you know, I was having a conversation with Noma Shiko actually just yesterday. And we're talking about time, right? And and understanding the value that comes with, you know, just kind of going, you know, this thing is so important to us that we just want to give it like a couple of days, even though we know that, you know, it's going to live forever. You know, how important was it for someone to understand that, you know, this is going to take a lot of time in order for it to perfect it? Otherwise, you would just be standing there with a 13-minute thing that possibly you would have gone, doesn't work, and just walked away from it.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, this is an online content piece, so we,
yeah,
didn't have any media books.
That's right.
Which,
yeah,
which gave us a little bit of leeway and
yeah,
flexibility with the timing. So I know that we did go over a little bit because everyone could see, everyone was part of this train ride that we knew what was going to come out of this.
Yeah.
It was a super special piece, and the more we kind of worked on it, the more we crafted it, the shinier it was going to come.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everyone was on board, the clients especially.
That's crazy shit, man. That's such crazy shit. But yeah, it's your boy G-Man the M-Man, and we're still at it. I'm hanging out here, and with Mr. Steven Tyler. Not the one with the guitar in the hair.
The other one.
The one with the dope advertising. But yeah, if you have any questions, if you have any comments for him, hit me up on Cliff Central. Well, hit cliffcentral.com or on cliffcentral.com on Twitter at Blaxem. That's a BLAXEM. So dude, that must have been like really, really insane. I mean, so how do you then go from a project that big? Right. In fact, no. Maybe I should ask the question differently. How do you think that's also influenced your relationship with your client going forward?
Like, I mean, we were on such a roll with Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
The previous job we did was pretty awesome. It was like a social,
yeah,
campaign where the idea was to get the country to growl.
Yeah.
Like the iconic sound of an AMG.
Right. Right. Oh, I remember that. That was really dope, actually.
Yeah, we made some viral videos.
Yeah.
With, I don't know if you remember that one with the cop.
Yes,
growling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who asked the guy to drive the car?
Yeah, that was,
yeah,
me in the car.
Oh, okay. Nothing wrong. It makes sense now. Yeah. Oh,
but I mean,
cool,
like, those videos got, like, that particular video got 6 million views.
That's something crazy.
And it just pushed this big vibe of, like, trust between us and the client. But the sad thing was that Omnicom globally had Mercedes-Benz,
yeah,
and obviously we under Omnicom at BBDO,
yeah,
and globally there was a shift to Publicis. So
right.
I mean, we kind of really,
sure,
knocked out the last piece with a good relationship.
Yeah,
I mean, it's super sad that they're gone. I mean,
yeah,
I'm a huge car guy,
yeah,
and I was stoked to have Mercedes-Benz all the time, like,
yeah,
working on that AMG shoot.
Yeah, exactly.
They literally delivered like 3 AMGs a day for 2
fuck
weeks.
Yeah,
we're like, okay, cool, grab the G-Wag, let's grab the GT, and let's go.
And this advertising is not glamorous, guys. You know, it's a little moments like that. It's a little moments like that. That's fucking crazy, man, you know? And I mean, I keep going back to, you know, what's important for me is, it's kind of, you know, the people in the game or even in your agency who are, like, kind of new to the game. How do you think that it inspires them to see, you know, that kind of stuff come through the agency, you know, and other people in the agency doing work like that? How much do you think it makes them go, shit, all this is possible?
It's hugely inspiring to be working with people like the guys that I work with.
Yeah.
I mean, you see, you pop into people's offices and you see a little storyboard, or
that's right,
you get explained an idea and you're just like, okay, wow, let me get back to my office.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let me think of another one. No, it's awesome. There's some really special guys that we work with at BBDO.
Yeah, man. That's cool, man. Once again, man, it's your boy G-Man the Ad Man, and we're hanging out. Steven Tyler's got some amazing stories, and I think that it's what's critical for me is how, like you said, you know, like an agency, even when a relationship is about to end, to kind of still have those people walk away and look back and go, damn it, we were running with some of the best. You know what I mean? Mm. And obviously that must have an effect on some of the other clients that you already have in the system, knowing that they're working with people who do that kind of stuff. Do you think that's going to change the type of briefs that you're getting now?
Look, I mean, it definitely increases the pressure on the next week you work on when you do something like that. But yeah, I think with the other clients, it really is. I mean, advertising is about trust. The more your clients can trust you to let you do your thing, I feel the better the work's gonna be.
Yeah.
I mean, what Mercedes-Benz, the clients Bajel and Sullivan did, they literally just said to us, "Yes, go make this, make it amazing."
Yeah.
And I mean, we just kind of just like shot off and did the best we could, and that's what we generated.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of clients are very switched on and know what they're doing, but. Yeah. The more we have that freedom, the better stuff's going to end up.
That's right. That's cool, man. That's cool. And I hope a whole bunch of them are actually listening out there because that's what it takes. You know, you don't want to even call it bravery because, you know, people talk about how they want brave clients. It's not that. You know, it's understanding kind of the importance of the relationship in creating dope stuff that you don't necessarily even have to get to being brave if the relationship is that clean and is that solid. But yeah, I want to take a whole lot of steps back now because you were talking about, you know, where you're from. You know what I mean? And the rough streets of Oakland, but I mean, like from the very beginning, was this place where you always wanted to be? You know what I mean? Like was art direction always something that you had in the back of your mind, or like getting to make things like content like this? You know, is it because you always had a passion for filmmaking? What was it? At which point do you think it all started for you?
Look, I think the first time I ever sort of like sparked that interest in advertising, I was at my junior school and. John Hunt's son, Michael Hunt.
Right.
He was 1 year above me, and I think we were in like standard 3 or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, John Hunt came through to our school and he presented what is advertising.
Yeah.
And Huntless Scars, obviously TBWA, he presented this one ad, and I'm a huge car nut.
Yeah.
And he presented this ad of a BMW M5. Where it was you basically started the ad and you were watching this like rocket
thing. Exactly what you're talking about.
And then at the end of it the guy gets out the car and the camera's on the car.
Yeah.
And I saw this and I was just gobsmacked. I was like, is this what you do for a living?
Yeah.
And it always sat with me for the rest of my life. So then finished school, then I was like, I need to get into
Vegas. Where were you at high school?
I was at St. John's.
Ah, okay, cool.
Yeah. And then left there, went on a gap year, came through to Cape Town, hit Vega. And here we are.
Yeah, man. Oh, that's fucking dope, man. That's really dope. And like, you know, I feel like there's always with most people in advertising, there's always that one moment. You know what I mean? And it always amazes me how there's almost always one ad, right? Yeah. That makes you go. You think back and you go, yeah. I think that's what I want to do. And I mean, I think we're all going through. I think the game is going through a really weird phase where, especially with copywriters, I feel like there's a lot of fall off of copywriters purely because I feel like the game has stopped being attractive for some reason. And I think we're still getting, in fact now art directors, there are more art directors / designers coming up, and nobody wants to be called a classic, I mean art director, right? And we're having the fall off of the copywriters. What do you think that is? You know, do you think that we've lost the ability to inspire people to try and come into the game, and what do you think we could be doing differently, you know, to get that feeling that you got when John Hunt came to school?
Yeah, look, I mean, I've always considered the role we play is really about ideas more than it is about, I mean, the currency is ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people, most people can illustrate those ideas in one way or another and then work with the right partners to bring them to life. But, I mean, the inspiration really comes when you're looking at the world-class work, like at the one show, as you're saying earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the stuff that inspires and I think reproduces these creatives that we have
in
the country.
That's right.
But without that, it kind of falls off. I mean, copywriters are in such high demand.
Yeah.
Well, especially good ones.
Yeah.
I think the designers and the art directors, there's a lot more of them. But
that's right.
I mean, it's really finding the guys that have that strong currency of strong creative ideas.
But you know, to be honest with you, I don't think that we have a shortage of those. You know, I just feel like they end up in other industries because we just have stopped being able to inspire people to kind of go, this is where I want to be at. You know,
yeah.
For multiple reasons. I mean, we won't get into people dancing in adverts, you know, but for multiple reasons, people have just kind of gone, I feel like people have just kind of gone, I mean, we all have a dope relationship with advertising, but we're just not inspiring people to come into the game. So I really hope we can fix that at some point.
Like, I mean, there was what I found quite interesting, when I left Vega in Cape Town, there's a lot of luck to be had to get into the industry.
Yeah.
And
which kind of sucks.
It does suck.
Don't you think? I think it sucks that for an industry that's so important, that inspires so many people, that you need a certain level of luck to get into.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if I think about the whole year of people that were in Vega with me, I mean, the amount of people that actually went into advertising.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it is due to the fact that you leave Vega, you leave a creative college, and then you get placed into an internship with someone.
Yeah.
And if that place that you go to is not...
I hear you.
Like, hella inspiring.
You know, like, what? I'll buy that completely.
That's the faller.
Yeah.
There's no way I can do this for the rest of my life. Versus going to a place where you're, like, surrounded by these amazing people, creative mentors.
See, I like that. I like that because in a little way, you're asking advertising agencies and all these people that people are placed at to take more responsibility, to be those inspiring places where the kids want to stick around. Yeah. You know, if I come in there and you make me go in data capture when you know I'm an amazing art director, then fuck you. You know what I mean? It's your fault.
Yeah, you got a group of people that are completely unjaded and they can come in and that's it. They can literally make the big ideas. They can make the amazing stuff.
That's dope. So now tell me this. If you had, because you obviously worked in Cape Town and now you've come up here. If you had one piece of advice for the Cape Town game, what would that be? If you could sit everyone from the Cape Town industry, Cape Town part of advertising, sit them in one room and give them one piece of advice, what do you think that would be?
Sis, I don't know. Maybe come to Joburg. It's more fun. Yeah.
Look, that's not what I was hoping for. But I mean, because that's exactly what they've been going through. They've been going through a drain for a while of people leaving their town and coming up here. But I mean, I guess what I was getting at is that they obviously have some changes to make, because in as much as I'm a firm believer in that, I do still believe that we have to find a way to make that part of the industry work. You know, so that we don't all sit in Joburg and all of us make advertising in Joburg.
There
needs to be a personality that comes from Cape Town, a personality that comes from Joburg, that like is, and I've said it a few times on the show, that's akin to what happens in the States. Like, there's New York work, there's Chicago work, there's LA work, you know, for a reason, because it's all American work, but like, there's a reason why you have all those towns. And I guess what I was asking is, if you could inspire like someone to not leave the Cape Town game, what would you say to them?
Jeez, I mean, look, there's so many strong agencies in Cape Town,
and
unfortunately, there's a lot that have kind of like closed the doors. I think it's kind of hard to say. I mean, a lot of the people in there are super inspiring.
That's right.
I mean,
like the Rothschilds that you speak about as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, unfortunately, he's left now.
Yeah.
But he's doing amazing stuff in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough. I mean,
it's
one place to another has such a different sort of landscape of
and vibe
of
Yeah.
I mean, you can be. It's also hard to say not having been in most of these places.
So you don't really know
what to change.
I hear you.
But I mean, the young guys is really what I think makes the difference here. Being able to mentor them. So I mean, my advice to the Cape Town agencies, look after the youngins.
That's what's up. Listen to the children, guys. Listen to the children. Yeah, man. That's dope, man. That's really cool. So, I mean, we're almost out of time. We're about to wrap it up. But tell me, like, what are you looking forward to the most in the next 12 months? You know, and what's happening for Steven Tyler that excites you in the next 12 months? You think?
I mean, little ventures here and there. I mean, it's always I've got a little project happening with a friend of mine. Like getting into the property game.
Ah, that's
very
what's up.
Grown up.
Yeah.
Very grown up about it.
It's an adult shit, right? It's an adult shit.
But yeah, I mean, look, the inspiring and fun things that are happening in my life are always around work.
Yeah.
We've got an awesome
that's
shoot.
That's dope, actually. That's really dope.
I mean, there's an awesome shoot coming up in Jan, as I was saying earlier, but like every time when you're feeling quite down at work, there's always another brief that's coming
that's
around
dope,
the corner
man.
That you just got to look forward to.
That's fantastic. Guys, it's your boy G-Man, the Ad-Man, and like I said, it's amazing. It's amazing how much the time flies out here. But at the same time, you know, I also know that the advertising game wants this guy. You know what I mean? And I've got some comments here from Blaine. Blaine Robo, what's going on, my man? He says, the issue is Cape Town is backwards in many agencies. Joburg is where the money is, and where diversity exists. Which I kind of guess is what you're alluding to, about the diversity and all that. And I guess maybe they just need to have a slightly better relationship with diversity. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But I think we all agree that it's a lot bigger than that. Some important shit. And I think we had a really, really dope chat today. So thanks for coming through, man.
Dude, thank you so much for having me.
For you people out there, if you haven't checked the thing out, please go and check it out. What's the website where people can see the video?
Well, I mean, if you just type in Mercedes-Benz Return to Chapman's Peak,
yeah,
it's a 5 minutes, 10 second video. Yeah.
Completely worth it, if you ask me.
I hope you enjoy.
Yeah, man. Support G-Man the Air, man. And we've had another dope week of advertising. And like I say every week, take care of yourselves, take care of those briefs, and most importantly, take care of each other. Because it gets really, really messy in this shit. And that's why you need each other. And like I say every week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Boom!
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the ad man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly.
Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
This is clipcentral.com.